Man, God really is good. Well, I'm excited at what he's been doing in me and what he's been doing in our church. And I say it all the time, but it's so true that the best is yet to come. I mean, I can say that because I know what God promises us. And what I talked about, if you weren't here Sunday, what I spoke on Sunday was the promises that God's made to us. And really, I believe what is the absolute greatest promise that God's given to us as human beings. It's a promise that he makes to everyone. We see it in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and I'll give you a little bit of background on it. If you were here Sunday, I know this is repetitive, but it's really good, and I want us to get it, that this is a promise that God made from the foundation, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, that it holds true. It's, I believe, the biggest promise that we get in the Bible. It's so big that both Christians and Jews celebrate it today. And one of the very last things that Jesus did while on this earth was celebrate the promise, this promise that God, that he made to humanity. And it is the promise that God spoke through Moses to a nation that was enslaved in Egypt. And in this promise, he simply recognized that they were in bondage, that they were slaves, but he said some things to them. Can we put that up on the screen? In Exodus 6:6, he says this, "Therefore say to the Israelites," this is Moses speaking on behalf of God, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians," that he'll bring them out from bondage, from slavery. Then he says, "I will free you from being slaves." That's a secondary promise, because sometimes God will take us out of slavery, he'll take us out of Egypt, but he'll put us in a place where he has to get Egypt out of us. And man, a lot of Christians are kind of stuck in that place where, man, God's taken them out from that old sin life, and he's washed them clean, but they're still on the path to freedom, and it's a path of deliverance where God's taking all the sin junk in the flesh out of them. And that's what I titled tonight's message, The Path of Freedom. And it is dealing specifically with the transition from "I will bring you out," which I talked about Sunday, to "I will free you from being slaves," that I'm talking about this Sunday. So I titled the message, The Path to Freedom. Galatians 5:1 says this, "It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." We were set free for freedom, for the sake of freedom. That when God created you and he created me, he created us to be people who walk in freedom and don't walk in bondage. How many of y'all know some people that walk in bondage? I know lots of people that walk in bondage. Let me just tell you, I grew up in a church that with people that were straight as an arrow, that playing cards was a sin, that drinking alcohol, like that, you'd go straight to hell for that, like hell bust it wide open, that if you wore the wrong clothing, like, I mean, for sure you're going, I'm thinking to myself, this is freedom? My goodness, these people are bound up. If drums came into the church, the whole church was going to hell, everybody who heard the drums. They'd listen to it on the radio and they'd go see concert. I'm like thinking to myself, my word, Christ has set us free. It's for the sake of freedom that we've been set free. When we have a revelation of how good he is, how much he loves us, and the promise that he makes to us from the beginning, even in the garden after Adam and Eve messed it all up, he was the one that went out of his way to cover them, to hide their shame, to take the skins of an animal. Yes, it was God who brought death into the garden. Why? Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin." You ever wonder why we sing about the old hymns about blood? Because blood is not just symbolic, it's actual for physical life. You have to have it. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, what was that? That was God demonstrating his love. And while we were at our worst, when we've chosen our own way, just like Adam and Eve did, that he says, "I've already wiped that away. I've washed it away. All you have to do is receive. All you have to do is believe and receive." Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." In other words, the gift of freedom has already been paid for. We just have to receive it and walk in it. Can I tell you, there are a lot of people who walk in bondage. And when I say, man, God's taken us out of bondage, so often we want to think, well, that's the convicted pervert, and that's the drug addict, and that's the thief, and it very well can be. But sometimes, maybe we should, instead of pointing the finger, look at the three pointing back at us and remind ourselves that we are not called to walk in a yoke of bondage, because he's brought us out from that. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8:1-2 says this: therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when I am full of him, walking full of the presence of God, receiving the truth that he loves me, that he knows me, that he gave the greatest gift ever in his demonstration of love, which was God squeezing into an earth suit, coming as the Son of God, which demonstrated an even greater love, because I love y'all, and I'd probably take a bullet for y'all. Honestly, I probably would. But put my kids up here, I love you, I don't love you that much. I'm not gonna let my kid take a bullet for you. I mean, I love you, all of you. Some of you maybe more than others. And I might take a bullet willingly for some of you. Somebody, I might have to think about that. Shoot a text to my wife, what do you think? But I can tell you this, when my kid is up here, I don't love anybody here that much. And yet God loved us so much that he himself squeezed himself into an earth suit and came as the Son. And yet Jesus says, the Father and I are one. There's a mystery to the faith here. I hope you see it. And he says, well, actually Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, still sinning, still doing everything that we knew we should not be doing, everything that dirtied our own soul and made us miserable, and yet at the same time there was some sort of perverted sense of satisfaction, and y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? He said, even while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? So we could walk in freedom. There's no condemnation for those who walk and live and breathe in the Spirit of Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. It's written on our hearts, just as eternity is written on our hearts and everybody wants to live forever. It's written on our hearts. So is the law of sin equaling death. We know sin equals death. We can say, no, I can do whatever I want and there's no consequence. And yet, let me just tell you, you can delude yourself for only so long until you realize that there is a right, that there is a wrong, and that God is the standard. The law of sin and death. Sin equals death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from that. That's that moment where we have this revelation. God, you know me. You love me. You've chosen me. I choose you. Man, I feel like I'm getting like really deep and theological and all. Y'all okay with all that? But I want us to know the path to freedom is us having this revelation. God, you made me. Do we have any deep thinkers? Like, you think about weird stuff. It's kind of so deep that it kind of freaks yourself out sometimes. I mean, I remember growing up, I thought about some crazy stuff. And even when I was an adult, I was like, just crazy nutso stuff. It's deep. It's not bad. I'm all about asking questions. We should always be able to ask questions. And I'm just telling you right now, God's not offended with your questions. In fact, he said, ask. I'll answer. Seek me, though, and you'll find. And I remember just crazy stuff like, man, what if this whole world is just a farce? And like the whole thing is created just in like some sort of holographic program, like really, like God's going to reveal himself to me. I know, I'm partly crazy. But I always thought deep things, how infinitesimally small we are compared to the universe. And yet the world seems really big. And God dwarfs all of that. He knows you. He loves you. And when you have that revelation, he wants to be with me and know me? And let me tell you, you can know him. You step onto the path of freedom when you say, God, I'm yours. Any ex-junkies in here? Come on, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of that. That's your past. It's dead. That person's dead. Ex-junkies, raise them high. Ex-sicko perverts, come on. And don't make me stand here raising my hand by myself. I swear, I know some of you, and I will open up the closet and dance with the skeletons. How does that happen? When we realize God's promise was not just to Israel in bondage, but to us in bondage to sin. And he promises, I'll bring you out of that. And we allow him to. There's freedom there. There's no condemnation when we're with Christ Jesus. Which brings me, to what are we free from? Just some of the notes I took. Lord Almighty, there's so many things that I'm free from. Sin equaling death. I don't have to worry about that because I'm right with God. Does that mean that I'm perfect and I'll never sin again? No. I would love to be perfect and never sin again, and yet I just keep screwing that up. I keep messing it up over and over, and yet God's grace is there because I've already been washed in that blood, and he's bringing me to a place where I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I once was. Thank you, Lord. That's good stuff. He frees us from sin and death. Here's another big one. It's a huge one. He frees us from fear. One of my favorite verses, Isaiah 41:10. God's speaking. He says, fear not, for I'm with you. So many people are crippled and paralyzed by fear. Fear of what other people are going to think. Fear of what could happen to them if they go outside. Fear of taking a risk and stepping out and going and applying for that other job or actually taking the other job or following their heart or a dream that God put in. They're riddled with fear. We don't have to. We can be free from that. So many people are scared to death of death. We have nothing to fear. Look, I don't think about death in a sick sense, but I think about death often because it's just the transition point from one state of being to another. Does it scare me? No. Am I looking forward to it? I mean, I really like my life. It's really great, and I love it, and God's really good. I'm not looking forward to it, but the number of people that are riddled with fear over death, that it paralyzes them, and they don't want to get in a car. They don't want to get on a plane or a train because they're convinced like something bad's going to happen. I don't have to operate in that fear. Why? Because I had an appointment with God. He showed me my assignment. And until that's over, I'm invincible. I know that sounds cocky and crazy. I don't decide when that assignment is over, so he is, so maybe today it's over. I don't know. But I know this, that I don't have to be crippled by fear. He set me free from sin, death, from fear, what else? Doubt, confusion. I don't have to live in those states. We don't have to. Y'all know people that are crippled by fear? Have y'all ever been crippled by fear? I would imagine most of us at some point have. Isn't it a miserable existence? Galatians 5:1, it's for freedom that Christ set us free. I don't have to be miserable, lonely, depressed, sad. I will be those things if I choose my way. So the thing is that I really have chosen his way. And yet, it seems like all of those things that I just listed off, sometimes I struggle with them. Sin, fear, doubt, confusion, sorrow, misery, loneliness. Am I hitting anybody here? Do y'all still struggle with those things? So why do we still struggle? I think we see a very clear picture in the story that God tells, in the nation that he delivered from slavery. If you have small kids, you've probably seen the Prince of Egypt. Or maybe you grew up in church and you know the story of Moses and the parting of the Red Sea and that the nation of Israel was for 400 years slaves in Egypt. Y'all know that story? Maybe you watched Ben-Hur. Wasn't that on Ben-Hur? Yeah, wasn't Charlton Heston like, you shall not pass? Wait a minute, that's another movie. Now, which one's the guy with the stick and the... No, which one is that? That's Lord of the Rings, isn't it? It's a great movie. It's totally not in the Bible. Okay, I did that on purpose. When Charlton Heston raises the staff and the parts, and God delivered an entire nation out of slavery. I mean, he made these promises. He made the promises, I shall take you out. I'll free you from being slaves. I'll redeem you. I'll take you as my people. Those are the four promises that he made. And like, I'll be dadgummed. He did it. He did it. He took them out, and like they're miraculously and supernaturally freed from slavery, and in such a fashion that he told them, okay, listen, when you're going out, go to all of your Egyptian neighbors and ask them for all their stuff. And they loaded them down with all the gold, the silver, the clothing, the best of Egypt they took with them. So when he took them out of slavery, he didn't just take them dirt poor, oh, we're slaves, and he took them rich. It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's way cool. All you have to do is read the account of that in Exodus and then read through Numbers and see what happens. It's a way cool story. But there's some things that we can learn, because even though they were delivered from slavery and they were miracle after miracle, they still struggled. Why do we still struggle? I think for some of the same reasons that they struggled. I want us to look at some of their struggles. In Exodus chapter 14, here's what we see. They've been freed from slavery supernaturally, miraculously. Go read Exodus. It's mind-bogglingly cool. If you read it with imagination, please imagine, it's fun. But in Exodus chapter 14, Pharaoh has let them go. And they've gone, and they've been camped out by the Red Sea for about 3 weeks. And then Pharaoh changes his mind, and his entire army comes after them. Actually, in verse 13, I don't have it in your notes, but I'm going to read this. It says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land that he had for them. God said, if people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way. Sometimes God leads us in a roundabout way. Do you know that? Sometimes when he takes us out of slavery, he takes us the long way to the place that he's promised us. Anybody here feel like you're on the long road to what God's promised you? Great. He did an entire nation that way as well, so you're in good company. Just don't always act like them, but we probably did at some juncture. Look at chapter 14, verse 10. Now remember, 3 weeks camped by the Red Sea. They don't know what to do because they have a sea in front of them and they have an Egyptian army behind them that is now approaching them, and they, though they have all the riches of Egypt, they don't have weapons. But the army does. This is a bad spot to be in. Sea on one side of you over here, army on the other, and they're coming to kill you, and you have your children and your stuff, and actually some of their stuff, a lot of their stuff. You have animals, you have everything with you. You're traveling really slow, but you don't really have weapons, maybe tent poles. They have chariots, and they're freaking out. In verse 10 of chapter 14, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, now this is God just supernaturally delivered them from slavery. They said, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. God supernaturally delivered them. I mean, there were all these crazy plagues. They were spared, the vast majority of them. He miraculously delivers them. And what do? They freak out, and they're mad at God, and they're mad at Moses. Why do we still struggle? For the same reason that they struggled in that moment. Because we focus on the wrong thing. Why do we struggle? We focus on the wrong thing. It is very easy to focus on the problem instead of focusing on the promise that God has for us. How do we walk on the path of freedom? Focus on the right thing. What is the right thing? The promise that God has given us, that he has brought us out from slavery and he will free us from being slaves. Because here's the tactic of the enemy. He makes your freedom look like bondage, and he makes bondage look like freedom. Some of y'all probably should write that down because that's really good. And this is where they were. They've been freed from being a slave, but now the slave driver, the taskmaster, is coming back. And they're going, God, what did you do? And then they look at Moses and go, you're the one who spoke for God. We told you this would happen. You're going to mess everything up. We're going to die out here. What were they focused on? The problem that was coming at a rapid pace in the form of chariots to kill them. I get it. That's a big thing. That's a pretty big problem. Wouldn't you agree? But they forgot about the promise. They forgot about the promise. Moses was pretty upset because they really want to kill Moses now too. You just brought us out here to die. We're all going to be killed. You're an idiot. That's basically what they were saying. I'm sure they said a lot worse things than that because they had their kids with them and they thought that this guy led them wrong. They were focused on the wrong thing and they forgot the promise of God that said, I will bring you out from being slaves, from the yoke of the Egyptians, from the bondage of slavery, and I will free you from being slaves. I will redeem you and I will make you as my own. That's what he told them. They forgot. But Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. He held on to the promise, and he didn't focus on the problem. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Why do we struggle? We focus on the wrong thing. The second thing is we forget where we're going. What did God promise them? He promised them, not only am I going to take you out and bring you out from being slaves, not only am I going to free you from that slavery and redeem you and take you as my people, but I've got an awesome place for you. It's a place that I've promised you. They forgot where they were going. I just really believe there's some people in here tonight, you forgot the destination that God spoke to you years ago, and it's a good place. Doesn't mean that it's without fight. It doesn't mean that it's without struggle. It means that in the middle of all of that fight and all of that struggle, stop focusing on the problem and focus on the promise that God has for you. And if you don't know what that promise is, I'm here to tell you. It's that he has a place of freedom for you, that you don't have to live and be with this thing on you that weighs you down. You don't have to because he set you free from that. Don't forget where you're going. The third reason that we struggle, I really believe, is because we fashion our own God sometimes. I'm just going to read some of the times when this nation of Israel complained. We're all going to die. You know the story. What did Moses do? He took the stick and he stepped up and faced the demon and he stood with his staff. And what happened? The Red Sea parted and they walked through on dry ground. And when Pharaoh pursued, after he walked with his raising his staff, when he put it down, the whole thing came back and killed them all. Wow. Complete, utter deliverance. Chapter 14, they complain. We're all going to die. Chapter 15, after they see the entire army destroyed and Moses was right, we will never see those Egyptians again. The ones we saw that, they would never see them again. Do you know what they did in chapter 15? It's really cool. They all sang a song of deliverance. Actually, Miriam sang the song, Moses' sister. But they wrote it down. It was this huge party. They had a massive party by the beach. And they partied, God has delivered us, in chapter 15. They're less than a month. They're like 26, 27 days free from slavery. They're partying because the Egyptian army that oppressed them for so long is all dead. They're on the other side of the Red Sea. God miraculously showed up. They're like, yeah. And a few days later, do you know what happens? They're complaining. They're at Marah. And they're like, what are we going to drink? We're all going to die out here. Just a few days after a miracle. In chapter 16, verse 3, this is what they say. You don't have to put them up on the screen. It says, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. That's crazy. Why? Because, what are we going to drink once again? What are we going to eat? There's no food. And God shows up with quail from heaven, literally, and manna. In chapter 17, verses 2, they say, give us something to drink. They're complaining and whining that they're going to die in the wilderness. Moses sees water come out from a rock. He speaks to the rock and boom. He hits the rock and it opens up with water. They focused on all the problems instead of the promise. They forgot where they were going. And then, less than 3 months into the trip, they get to a big mountain, Sinai. Moses goes up to the mountain. There's a cloud on top. Everybody's to stay at the bottom. He's up there for 40 days, and they freak out. You know what they do in Exodus chapter 32? They take all of their gold that they got from the Egyptians. They melt it down, melt it into a cow, which was an Egyptian god, and they begin to worship that and say, that's what got us out of Egypt. And we look at that and go, that's stupid. Those people are idiots. How often have we thought that we've got to the place of some level of freedom in our life because we just willed ourselves to do it, because we worked really hard? I've been guilty of that. You know what I did? I fashioned my own God. It was me. Just being transparent. Has anybody here ever done something like that? It was me. I got myself out of this predicament. Why do we still struggle? Because we focus on the wrong thing. Because we forget where we're going. Because we fashion our own God. I mean, I was like idolater number one. It had been everything: hunting, fishing, girls, motocross, drag racing, martial arts, every hobby that you could possibly have. I've been there, done that, have the t-shirt. Scuba diving. Lord, what else? Cycling, mountain bike. I could go on and on. I made God after God after God. And that became what I worshiped. Why do we still struggle with sin and death and the condemnation? It just feels so bad. Why do we struggle with fear, with doubt? Why do we struggle with doubt and confusion and misery and all of that? Why? Because we're focusing on the wrong things. Because we're forgetting the plan and the path that God has for us. And we inadvertently and unintentionally, but we do it just the same, make our own God. Am I making sense here, folks? I don't want that for us. So how do we get onto the path of freedom that God has for us? Because he made the promise, I will bring you out from under the yoke of slavery of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves. I'll redeem all the junk in your life. That means you turn it in and he gives you something good. I will take you as my own people. How do we get on that path? It's actually simple, like really, really simple. Here it is, number one. Three things. We're really wrapping up. I don't have much more. Wow, it's early. Y'all okay with that? I don't know anybody that's fussed at a preacher for being brief. So, the path to freedom. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. He's real. He can take your questions. He hears your complaints. He's already answered the question to all of your problems. And though it may not be a specific solution to whatever you're going through, though he can give us that, he gives us a general answer that is much greater than what we think we need specifically in a moment. And the answer is, trust me. I've already made a promise to you. It's Exodus 6. It's Jesus at the Last Supper, before he gives himself for his creation. What does he celebrate? He celebrates the deliverance of a nation from slavery. And with each of those four promises, they drink a cup of wine. And he drank to the promise. We don't like to think about that, do we? But it's true. Luke 19, we see he drank multiple glasses of wine. Well, why? In remembrance of the promises that he made to the world. I'll bring you out of bondage and the yoke of oppression and slavery. That's an awesome promise. How do we walk on the path to freedom? We believe him. We trust him. We hold on to his promises where he says, I'll bring you out. You don't have to walk in bondage to the junk that haunts your soul. You don't have to. You can walk in freedom. Trust me. He reiterates in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, without faith, it's actually impossible to please me. Why are you here? I would imagine you're here because you want to please God. Anybody? I guess that's why you're here. I want to please God. Two things. Number one, we know inherently what displeases God. We know it. I don't have to browbeat you with that. Nobody does, because we know. But here's the second thing. We'll never be able to truly please God by cutting out all of the sin, because the truth is we're human and we can't. I've tried, haven't you? We please him when we believe him and we receive and embrace the promise that he has for us. Trust him. The second thing. Pastor Josh, you can come. We're really almost done. Path to freedom. Trust God. Number two, don't be afraid. Stand still. Stay calm. I got that from Exodus 14, where they're right at the very end of what they think is the end, actually. They've been freed from slavery, and they're certain that it's going to be the death of them and Pharaoh and his army. They're bearing down on them, and they raise their fist towards God, and they're yelling at God and Moses, "I can't believe we knew this would happen. It's going to be terrible." And that's the fear that people have in surrendering to the plan that God has for them and stepping out in faith and trusting him. God, here's my life. I give you all of it. And it's kind of freaky and scary. And sometimes it looks like it's going to be the death of you. And yet God made a promise to them. Moses reminded them of it. And he said this, "Don't be afraid." How do we walk the path of freedom? God holds on to his promises. They're forever. They're true. Stand still. You don't have to work to get to the place of freedom, because the work's already been done. Jesus did the work on the cross. He paid the price for all of our sin, all of our stupidity, all of the dumb, dark things that we've ever thought, said, done. He paid the price. I don't have to be afraid of tomorrow because of the promise that he gives me today. I don't have to work to get to a place of freedom because he's already made that place. All I have to do is stand still and wait for him to show up. That can seem like stupidity to people who are pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of guys. And I get that because that's kind of my natural bent. He didn't tell the nation of Israel, "Run, swim, dive, go." He said, "Just stand still." That's what Moses told them. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Watch the Lord rescue you. The Lord himself will fight for you. Stay calm. Stay calm. I don't have to be afraid. I just have to stand still. Stay calm. Is that difficult when all hell's breaking loose? It is. In all your striving, what have you accomplished? I know I about gave myself a heart attack with a lot of things because I was so wound so tight. The path to freedom is trusting God, holding on to his promises, believing him, not giving in to fear, staying right where you are because God's not told you to move, remaining calm. That's the peace. It's his peace. It's one of the fruits of his spirit. Here's the last thing, the path to freedom. You have to step out in faith. You have to trust him, believe him, but the moment will come where you have to step into the place that he's promised you. That's not as necessarily easy as it sounds. It's simple. God, I know the place that you have for me. I'm going to step into it. That's easier to say than sometimes it is to do. Because in Numbers, that nation that God delivered, even though they whined, complained, they fussed, they ran, they were horrible, they were terrible. Why did you bring us out here to die? And they said that like 10 times over the course of a year. They literally were just like raise it about once a month. They're going, "God, why did you bring us out of slavery? I'm mad at you. This is hard." And yet he still, in his graciousness, brings them to the place that he's promised them. And they're right at the edge of it, looking in. And they send their spies, 12 guys, to go check it out, 12 spies to spy out the land. And they come back and say, oh my goodness, it's everything that God said it would be. Like, it's awesome. There's more than enough food. There's more than enough space. It's an amazing land, but there's giants there. We're like grasshoppers in their hut and their sight. Like, they could crush us and kill us. 10 of the spies come back and say, yes, it's everything God promised. There's no way we can take it because the people that are there are just way too big. But 2 guys stood up full of faith. Man, I love this. This is what they said. The whole community, when they got the report of like, we can't do it, the whole community began weeping aloud. They cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Over a year later, they're still saying that we should have died, even though God delivered them time and time and time again. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And they plotted among themselves. Let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery after they were responsible for the entire death of the army. That wouldn't have gone well. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. 2 of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he'll bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It's a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. They're only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. Right on the edge, they freak out again. But this time, they don't listen to Moses. They don't listen to Aaron. They don't listen to the 2 guys that said, we can do it. God's prepared a place. And they fail. And they spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness until they all die. That is a terrible story. And yet, sadly, it is the story of so many Christians who have been set free from bondage of slavery to the taskmaster, the demonic Pharaoh that rules this world, because Satan is very real. They've been set free from sin and death. They've been brought through a process where God's getting the slavery mindset out of them, and there is always a point where you stand on the edge of what God has for you, and you will have to make a choice. Am I stepping out in faith, or am I shrinking back in fear? The entire nation, they did not step out in faith. They shrunk back in fear, and they wandered. Were they free from slavery? Yeah. But they wandered in the wilderness until they died. And therein lies too many people that have encountered the goodness and grace of God that's delivered them from sin. The path to freedom is really, really simple. Trust God. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Stay calm, because he does all the work. But you have to step out in faith. And some of you, the dream of God that he's placed in your heart, maybe it's just a dream of having a normal life that's not wrought with misery and pain. And let me just tell you, that's just a drop in the bucket of what he has for you. Doesn't mean that you don't have to step out. No, you will have to step out. You will have to fight. But God's gone before you. He'll make you victorious. My prayer for us as a church and for you individually is that we walk on a path of freedom and that we're not held in bondage. Trust God. We don't freak out. Hold on to his promises. And we step out in faith into the place that he has for us. So if you're here and this message was for you, because you needed somebody maybe come behind you and remind you of the place that God has for you. So take your eyes off of the problem and put them on the promise in the land that he has you. Is that for anybody here tonight? Just raise your hand. A lot of folks. Good. I want to pray for you. So why don't we stand up? We're just going to pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. You know us, you love us. Lord, I pray blessing on everyone here. Those of you that raised your hand, just raise them again so I can pray for you specifically. Father, I just pray that there is freedom that comes in this house. That, Lord, that there is freedom that we can say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul because you have my soul. It's yours. That, God, my heart, my mind, my soul is yours. And, Lord, I just pray that we walk in freedom as we trust you. Lord, I just pray for those with their hands raised that you illuminate the promise that you've spoken to them in their heart and their mind. May they put their eyes on you and take them off their promise in Jesus' name. Now look up here. I promise you, you follow him, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Let me just tell you, for our body, the best is yet to come. And we've seen so many people give their lives to the Lord. We've seen so much growth, not just numerically, we've certainly seen that, but just the stories that I hear of God doing a tremendous work in people. Let me tell you how that happens. Because we believe, we seek. Here's the underlying foundation. And gosh, I pray you get this because it's for real. We pray. I'm asking you to pray for our services on Sunday. We're going to see a lot of people, I really believe, walk in freedom and set free from bondage. If you know somebody that needs that, you get them here. And if that's you tonight, don't you walk out of here without praying with somebody. Our prayer partners are coming up as we're dismissing. And I want you to know the best is yet to come, but it's conditional. The best is yet to come when we follow Christ. If you're not doing that, don't walk out of here without following him. If you want to connect with us, take one of the cards in the seat back in front of you. Fill it out. Please fill out the prayer request if you have one. We pray for them. I pray for them every day. We've just seen so many prayers answered. It's a great, great day. And tomorrow's going to be even better. Y'all excited? Good. Whew. Father, thank you for this time together. Pray blessing on everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. You're dismissed. You need prayer. You need to be up here. Get up here. If not, we'll see you soon. God bless. See y'all Sunday.
Even when my skin see and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the